God bless you as you tune in, brethren. May you be blessed as we meditate together on the sacred words of our Lord Jesus. Paul says that we should examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Something that we have to do regularly. It's like the way we wake up in the morning to look at ourselves in the mirror. We should at times stand and look through the mirror of the Word and begin to see whether we stand in the faith of our Lord Jesus. If we stand in the faith, there has to be a progress. If we stand in the faith and we've heard messages like this for years after years, we've been to fellowships after fellowships, we've read books after books, we've preached here and we've preached there, the next thing that we ought to do is to pause and examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. If we look at the mirror of the Word, we have to see that image of Christ, the beloved of God, the only begotten of God, and see how conformed we are to that very image. Praise God. We're going to quickly examine some of the letters of Jude, the writings of Jude. Jude just gave one chapter. There's only one chapter in the Bible dedicated to the letters of Jude. And wrapped up in that one chapter is the totality of the will of God. We can already discern the will of God for our lives just reading that one chapter. See, it is not big words and, you know, continuous talk, but rather getting the will of God, understanding that will of God aright. Praise God. Jude talks about the faith that was handed over to us in Jude chapter 1 verse. I'll just start from verse 1. I'll read the first part because I can't read the whole chapter. I'll start from verse 1 to verse 3. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, we are being called, you know, admonished to contend for that faith that has been delivered unto us. It's contention. So it's like a battle. It's something that we have to diligently hold on to. See, Paul says, hold on to eternal life. See, it's something that you hold on to with all your force, with all your might, with all your strength. Everything that you have in you to continue in the word of life. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. It's something that has been given to us, but we have to contend for the faith. Contend. Praise God. Somebody is still waiting. We are so far. At times we make the mistake to, we are still waiting for something to happen. We are still waiting for Jesus to come and kind of change something in our lives. See, we are still going all around looking for somebody to pray for us and to prophesy to us. to make us well, to make us more spiritual, to make us attend to the peace. Some people are waiting for some kind of miracle suddenly, but not realizing that this faith has already been handed over to us. And it's left for us to grab it with all diligence, to contend for it. Praise God. Contend for it with singleness of mind, letting go of everything. Because there's nothing that can be compared to this grace of God that has appeared from heaven. Nothing. Nothing. Your love life, your family life, your businesses, anything that you think you can attain in this present world is nothing compared to that gift that God has handed over to us. That gift of faith. Praise God. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is what we are called to contend for. Day and night, our groaning is to lay a hold on that thing that has been handed over to us. Praise God. Because this is the thing that will eventually catapult us into God's dimension of infinite blessings. Praise God. Infinite blessings. We have to ascend. Hallelujah. Ascend. See, that faith that has been handed over to us is what will draw us back into the glory of God. Praise God. With this faith that has been handed over to us, it is expected that individually we all begin to walk out our faith with fear and trembling. Walk out our faith with fear and tremble. Gratitude that you've received it. Fear and trembling. Lest it be snatched away from us. Lest we be like the Israelites. The Israelites who left Egypt, and a whole generation was wiped out in the wilderness. See, they went round in circles, but they never held on to that promise of abundance. They never entered into the promised land. The promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. See, it's a land which speaks of the infinite blessings of God. See, where you are blessed with everything, where you can lack no good thing, where you can come to the place and say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, when you entered into the place of perfect stillness, peace, security, nothing can touch your peace and your joy. Oh, hallelujah. Some of the blessings of the Lord says that your enemies will come against you one way and they shall flee seven ways. You shall be blessed in your house. You shall be blessed in your farmlands. Your cattle shall be blessed. See, the fruit of your womb shall be blessed. Everything that you lay your hand on shall be blessed. You shall prosper in everything. That is the promise for those who enter into the promise. That is what is reserved for those who enter into the promise. And all this promise is nested in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who in reality is the only one that has access to God's kingdom. Paul writes that we are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, we have access into the kingdom of his dear Son through Christ. So we are seeing images today, flashes. We've been handed over that faith so that we can attain to that mark of perfection, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Because the way he is the way we are. The Father expects that we all leave the childishness and the futility of our human carnal existence and ascend back into the image of the Son of God. That is the one that is perfect, pure, immaculate, acceptable before God. See, all these revelations we have today, it's all to edify us, build us up into the knowledge of Him that is true, which is Christ. Now we hear these things and they're jumping around and excited and screaming and crying, but what do we do with what we hear? What do we do with what we hear? Is it just to write books? Is it just to make beautiful websites? Is it just to be a preacher? What do we do with these words that we hear? God expects that we use these words, see, as instruments of faith to build ourselves back into the image of the Son of God, which we lost in our descent into this world. Now we are understanding that that is the way we are from the foundation of the world, and God wants us back the way we were. That is why Jesus Christ took the coin when the scribes and Pharisees came to tempt him about taxes. He took a coin and showed them the face of the coin. He asked them, "Whose face do you see on this coin?" They told him, "Well, we see the face of Caesar," because Caesar was inscribed on the face of their coins at that time. Jesus Christ told them, "Well, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." Brethren, we all have the image of God inscribed on us. God accepts that we submit ourselves back to God. This is the will of God. So you see, the faith handed on to us is a faith that enables us to ascend. See, that is the same faith that enabled Abraham to leave all that he had, to leave his country and everything, to go into a place that he was led of the Spirit to go into. See, you cannot just wake up one day and leave if you don't have that faith that is implanted in you by God. Praise God. So let us understand, it's about working our salvation with fear and trembling. See, let us be mindful that God's will is that we attain to the place, not just to be hearers, but to be doers. Day and night, our groaning, day and night, with all attention, with all focus, with all determination, is to see that this blessing of God is ours. Praise God. Day and night is to stand still and to exercise ourselves in the reality of what God has revealed to us. Praise God. It is how we can apply this faith that we yield the salvation that we are seeking for. It is how we can apply this faith to our lives that will bring about the healing we are seeking for. When Jesus Christ went about doing some things and they came to praise him, some people who were healed came back to meet him, he told them, "Your faith made you whole. Your faith made you whole." Praise God. That faith has been handed over to us, so it's left for us now to build upon it. It's left for us to utilize that faith and increase in it. And by that faith, allow ourselves to be delivered into that perfect statue, which we know is Christ. Praise God. If you go down again to Jude, to the last part, Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Let's read some things. We're seeing the will of God, understanding the will of God. So when we know the will of God, God expects that we enter into that will so that we become part of His blessing. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Praise God. Now, with this little verse we just read in Jude from verse 20 to 25, we are seeing a summary of the will of God for our lives. It's admonishing that we continue in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, walking in the Holy Ghost, being led by the Holy Ghost, being admonished by the Holy Ghost. See, because the Holy Ghost is there to lead us back into the glory of God. Is there to lead us back into the Godhead. Praise God. It's there to bring about a regeneration in our lives, a regeneration in our hearts. A regeneration talks about, we're talking here in terms of a washing, a purification by faith, whereby we can retain the innocence that we lost in Adam. So that we can retain the innocence that we lost in this world when we descended into becoming, you know, material beings. We see, we exchange our garments of light for garments stained with flesh. See, and as long as we have this garment stained with flesh, there's no way we can approach the presence of God. There's no way we can be presented before his invisible presence. There's no way we can ascend to the pinnacle of Zion, where God dwells, with spotted garments. The garments have to be pure white. Praise God. That is why in the letter to the message in Sardis, which is the fifth message to the fifth church, God speaks, the Spirit speaks here about these garments, keeping our garments, walking worthy and keeping our garments. And this is done as we put on the eyes of the Holy Ghost. We can maintain our garments pure only as we walk watchfully by the Spirit of God. Only as we begin to perceive the creation and see things the way the Spirit of God sees things, that is how we can maintain ourselves immaculate. Praise God. The seven spirits of God are given to us to illumine the eyes of our understanding, so that we no longer walk in the ignorance of the Gentiles. Those are the nations of the earth, those who are cut off from the reality of God. When you put on the eyes of the Holy Ghost, what you see is simply the presence of God, because his presence fills all in all. God's presence is everywhere. It is in me, out of me, everywhere. His presence and his glory fills all in all, and besides him there is no other. Praise God. When you put on the eyes of the Holy Ghost, you become gradually conscious and aware of his presence. Hallelujah. That is why you see the sign in the letter, or rather in the message of Isaiah. It says that the glory of God shall be as the water covering the sea. Hallelujah. The glory of God shall cover the earth as the water covers the sea. It is talking about this earth here. It's talking about we here. This earth, our body, we, our consciousness, will be so saturated with the knowledge of his glory and his presence. Hallelujah. This is the sign for those who find themselves back, restored upon Mount Zion. So you have the seven eyes of God, the seven spirit of God, and God expects that we'll be watchful. Put on watchful eyes. So he says, be watchful. Strengthen the things which are about to die. So when we lose track of the presence of God, when we lose track of the reality that he's the only one, we begin to corrupt ourselves. See, we begin to go down to bitter battles and lusts and all those kind of things. The Holy Spirit in us breaks the power of lust. See, by looming the eyes of understanding. See, there is corruption in this world. People are, you know, drawn into lusts and eventually death. Because lusts, after lust you have the sin. When you lust first, then after that you go to sin. And after sin, there is death. See, and it's here to liberate us from death. So death reigns today in this world because people are not illumined with the seven spirits of God. So the message to the fifth church, which is the church in Sardis, talks about being watchful. Say it, watchful and strengthen the things which are about to die. Remember those things you've heard. Remember how the Holy Spirit has ministered to you. And don't go back into the lies of this world. Continue in the revelation and walk perfect before the Father's presence. Walk worthy before the Father's presence in a crooked and perverse generation. Oh, hallelujah. Those who are worthy, those who continue, persevere, stand immaculate, you remain in the presence of God. These ones have what? Access back into God's presence. They shall be clothed in white garments, in light garments. Praise God. These are the garments we lost in Adam. Remember, Adam says, I'm naked. Those things are restored to us so that we can walk in him, worthy, as sons of God. See, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence, we have everything that we have. John says that we have this confidence in us, that when we abide in the word, anything that we ask for, he does for us. Are you listening? When we abide in the word, when we walk by the revelation light of the seven spirits of God, when we keep ourselves unspotted from the corruption that is in this world, and we allow ourselves to be driven by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost alone, anything that we ask the Father, he hears us. Because we're not asking out of lusts. We're not asking to destroy or to commit some kind of wickedness. But we ask according to the will of God. Anything that he asks, it is granted us. That is the power of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the secret of his power is that he walked immaculate before the Father. Praise God. He said that, I know, Father, that you always hear me. See, that is the dimension we are being called into. Praise God. That is the power by which we created the heavens and the earth. Or don't you know that the heavens and the earth and everything seen was formed, created by the Son, and we all originated in the Son. So we are seeing the will of God here is to restore us back to that place, translated to become like babes once more. Innocence is restored. The garments of light are restored. See, we are liberated from the miry clay of humanity, the miry clay of our human existence. See, it's like mud, isn't it? Miry clay, you know, quicksand. That is how the flesh is. You can't please God there. You're always in want and always in lack, and you can never be satisfied down there. Never. See, you can never be satisfied. You think the billions will satisfy you? Well, go out and look for the billions. And when you get the billions, come and tell me whether you are satisfied. The only thing that can satisfy a man is to rediscover himself back in that presence, back in the Godhead, back in the glory. So praise God. So that faith that has been handed over to us enables us to rediscover ourselves back before the presence of God, immaculate, without spot, without wrinkle, so that we can shout for joy. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who know the shout of joy. Praise God. True joy. Hallelujah. Those are those who know the presence of the Father. See, it's a realm of wild jubilation, wild rejoicing. Continuous. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're seeing the work of the Holy Ghost is to draw us back into God's presence, back into the glory of God. And it's right now. The progress is right now. See, it's not something that we wait for when something happens. Praise God. If you have had this word, God expects that you use the word to work out your salvation by faith, by purifying yourself. See it as you behold the reality of your true image. God expects that you are transformed into that image. John says that he that has this hope purifies himself. You purify yourself from your carnality, from the world, all the bitterness, all the lusts. See, all those dirty desires, everything, you purify yourself from the world and ascend back into that purity that you had, and you know that purity and innocence that you had in God from the foundation of the world. You need the faith of God. You need focus, determination. See, Jesus Christ, like I said, says the violent take it by force. People who are determined, it's not for joke here. You don't joke with the things of God. Praise God. We don't play with the things of God. You know, Paul likens it to insulting the Spirit of grace. We don't insult the Spirit of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let us go back on our knees and ask God to forgive us. Let us go back on our knees and begin to seek the face of God once more. Praise God. Let us ask for that faith of the patriots. Remember Jacob wrestled with an angel throughout the night. He wrestled with the angel. He discerned that this was a messenger of God, and he wrestled with him and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Can you imagine that determination? All night he held this angel and wrestled with him. He contended for that blessing, and he got it. And the angel said, you are prince with God and with men. Praise God. For he had to wrestle. Praise God. When God gave Noah the revelation by faith, Noah didn't just sit back and say that he has heard what God is doing. Noah didn't just sit back and start writing books. But rather, the Bible says that he built with fear and tremble. He built the ark with urgency. He obeyed the Lord and built that ark. He labored for a season to enter into his rest. This is what God expects of you and I. Not just to be hearers, but to be doers. See, let the Spirit of God drive us. Let the Spirit of God, you know, constantly be our guide, edifying us day and night. Praise God. It's only as we align ourselves with the Spirit of God that we can see the salvation of God. Continue in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus Christ says that any sin that a man sins can be forgiven him, but the sin of the Holy Ghost can never be forgiven. In this age, nor in the age to come. Now, we have to understand what these things mean. Let's go back. I'll quickly rush. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given unto men, forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see the point here. It's very, very deep and serious statement here. See, Jesus Christ saying, forgive, your sins will never be forgiven to you in this age or in the age to come when you blaspheme or you sin or you transgress against the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to blaspheme or to transgress against the Holy Ghost? It simply means not allowing the Holy Ghost to take a hold of you and lead you back into God's presence. That is what the Holy Ghost is here for. The Holy Ghost is simply here to lead us back into God's presence. It's that voice in you that reveals the way back into the Spirit, the way back into the light. Praise God. It's that Spirit that drives us back to the pinnacle of Zion, where we can retain that salvation that we lost in Adam. Praise God. Book of Revelation, John saw the lamp with seven eyes on it. The seven eyes were the seven eyes of God sent to the earth. Those seven eyes represent the Spirit of God sent to the earth. They are the eyes of the lamp sent to redeem man from the earth. See, those eyes are supposed to lead man back to the pinnacle of Zion. See, that we read in Psalm 24, who shall ascend the holy hill of the Lord? He that has a pure hand, that has not lifted his eyes, his hands to idols. Praise God, he has not, lifted his soul to vanity. He has a pure heart, innocent hearts. Those are the ones that can stand, possess God's holy hill. The Holy Ghost is here to lead us. Because by our understanding as men, we can never be pure. There's no such thing as a good man. The wisdom of this age, the wisdom of man, all that thing you hear in the churches, in the systems of religion and everything cannot purify you. That which will purify you is that the eyes of the Spirit of God, the seven spirit, the Holy Ghost, and is there to lead you back into your innocence. Is there to lead you back into your true spiritual identity. That is the Holy Ghost for you. So when you transgress against the Holy Ghost, what is simply saying that when you transgress against the Holy Ghost, there's no other way. There's no other way back into God. You can insult Jesus as a man. You can sin against whatever you want, do whatever you want, but as long as you refuse to be led by the Spirit of God, there is no way you can understand or know what true forgiveness is. There's no way you can be a partaker of the grace unto salvation. Mark it is as long as you disobey. But wherever you are, if you repent and listen, wherever you are, if you repent and align yourself back to the Spirit of God, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Praise God. In this age or in the age to come, even when you are walking in God's kingdom, even when you've attained to the place, you must continue on in the light. Continue on in the Holy Ghost. Continue on living by the inspiration that is derived from the depths of God. Because the Holy Ghost reveals the depths of God. It reveals the mind of God. See, it causes you to begin to think like God. It causes you to begin to see things like God. It causes you to begin to walk as God. No longer as a carnal creature of the earth. No longer corrupting yourself as a mortal man with his many lusts and dreams. Praise God. In John chapter 20 verse 21, let's read that fast. I like to read these things at times because I realize that some of these messages go to places that you least expect. See, at times when we minister, we assume people know everything, but it might not be so. Praise God. John chapter 20 verse 21, these are words of Jesus, or something that Jesus Christ did that is very symbolic. And it's something related to what we are hearing in these last days. John chapter 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted unto you. And who soever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, Jesus Christ breathed on the disciples. Receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That was the Father breathing on them. It was the Father breathing that which is within him. The depths that's within him was breathed unto the disciples, so that they can once more live a life inspired from the depths of God, no more from the carnal reasoning of mortal man. So as they receive the Holy Ghost, they are revived out of the dust, so that they can take a hold of the nature of the Father. Praise God. As you receive the breath of God, they are revived from the sinful nature that they had in Adam, that carnal sinful nature, and they are lifted up once more back into the Spirit. Praise God. That is the gift of God. Tarry at Jerusalem and wait the gift of God. That's the gift of God. He's giving you back the ability to see and to hear as he sees and hears. He has given you back the ability to walk as God. No more as just an ordinary creature of the dust, but to walk as God. To walk back in that perfection that God created you to be. Because God never created any sinner. God never created you to be lustful, to be jealous, to be bitter, to be angry. God created you to have the same attributes of love that he has. Your sins are forgiven you. The transgression of Adam, when Adam changed that image of God. Because Adam in the Garden of Eden represented the glory of God. He exchanged that glory of God for the glory of mortal man. The serpent is mortal man. Adam received the mark of the beast, he became a mortal man. That is the transgression. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because all men walk as mortals. Because all men walk carnally. All men refuse to walk in the glory or in the image of God, which they truly are. And the desire of God is that we resubmit ourselves back to God and walk the way we are known from the foundation of the law of the law of the world. Oh, hallelujah, praise God, praise God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As we receive the Holy Ghost, others also receive from us. But first of all, we must receive the Holy Ghost. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we begin to exchange our emotions for the emotions of God, our will for the will of God, our desires for the desires of God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into Christ. The Holy Spirit has to lead us into that perfection that God desires of us. That is why the Spirit of God is given to us. It's not just for rababa shababa. No. It's not just for miracles. It's not just for preaching. It's not just to form churches and build crowds. No. It is for us individually to allow the Spirit of God lead us into Christ. Praise God. And as we obey, we transmit that same Spirit into other brethren. Hallelujah. We impart that same life of God that is in us into other brethren, so that they can live also. Praise God. So you see, the danger of those who reject the Spirit, the danger of those who refuse to allow the Spirit take a hold on them, the danger of those who prefer to walk in this carnal realm, who prefer the praises of men, who prefer the glories of men, who prefer, you see, the deceitfulness of riches and the glories of this world. The consequence is that their sins are retained. You see, and when our sin is retained, it means that we die off. You just die off like every other man. You suffer the way men suffer and just die off like the men die off, without knowledge, without understanding. Praise God. That is why it's good to lay a hold on this gift. It's not a joking matter. It's something to meditate on day and night. When we are falling short, we ask the Father of Light to correct us and to strengthen us. See, when we feel we lack, we ask the Father of Light. Praise God, let the Holy Ghost lead us. God is merciful. It's a God of love who will never reject those who ask. Anybody that asks receives. Anybody that seeks finds. Hallelujah. Let us stir up our hearts to seek and to know God in His entirety. Hallelujah. Let us not be like those who have one leg in and one leg out. But let us be a generation that enters in to possess their possession. Praise God. Let us be gathered unto Him. Hallelujah. Let this faith that has been transmitted into us, let these messages build up and cause us to boldly enter into His presence. To boldly enter in before the throne of grace and receive of His glory. Praise God. You see, this thing that Jude talked about, it's the same thing that Daniel saw many years before. Daniel saw the throne of God, praise God, with messengers of God servants of God, angels of God, gathered around the throne of God, serving him. You see this in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Ancient of Days, God. You can call him Christ. Whose garments were white as wool, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 and 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning fire. And concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominions taken away, yet their lives was prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near unto him, and there was given unto him dominion, glory, kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is forever, is everlasting, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. Now we are seeing a very prophetic vision concerning our gathering unto the Lord. See, God had already prophesied through his prophets of old concerning this great salvation that is being revealed in this last time. See, you know, we are in the last time. If you can hear this voice, you are in the last time. Those who are being gathered unto the Lord are in the last day. They are in the end. We have come to the end of the world. Daniel sees the Ancient of Days seated to bring judgment unto the beast. Praise God. He was seated, and there were ministers, angels, thousands, innumerable, a company of innumerable spirits that ministered unto the Ancient of Days. In reality, those ministers and angels ministering unto the Ancient of the Days, in reality, they are one with the Ancient of Days. They have no identity of their own. They are perfected spirits and saints that are gathered unto the Lord, serving the Lord day and night. If you look proper with your eyes, John is in that number. Paul is in that number. Hallelujah. You are in that number. They have no identity of their own. These are people who have consecrated. They have consecrated their life unto the Lord. They live solely unto the Lord. They have no life of their own. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Daniel saw a beast that was destroyed. A beast that spoke great, great words. And that beast was burnt in the fire that proceeded from the Ancient of Days. This is the judgment of God. See, that beast represents the flesh. It represents anything that is carnal, boastful, that speaks and blasphemes against the name of the Lord. That is our human identity that is being dissolved as we allow the Spirit of God lead us into Christ. As we continue praying in the Holy Ghost, walking in the Holy Ghost, he presents us before his presence with shouts of joy. But as he does these things, the beast is being dissolved and destroyed. See, that is the beast that has stood in this temple. You know, we are the temples of God. It has stood in this temple, claiming to be the God. And he's dissolved. The fire dissolves the beast. It dissolves everything. When you see, when fire destroys something, the thing is no more. Praise God. That lustful man of sin, proud, emotional and everything is destroyed completely by the revelation streaming forth from the Ancient of Days, which is Christ, which is God. See, so that we are absorbed back into God. Daniel saw one, like the Son of Man, being lifted up in the clouds of heaven and presented to the Ancient of Days. He was presented to the Ancient of Days. Oh, hallelujah. And unto him was given all dominion, glory, power, and everything. This thing was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Jesus Christ also was lifted up into that glory cloud. He declared that all power in heaven has been given unto me. In likewise manner unto us today who allow the Spirit of God lead us. Those of us who allow the Spirit of God take a hold of us. Those of us who can trust God, who can see the essence, how precious this salvation is. We are the ones that ascend in that glory cloud with the Lord. We are the ones being presented unto God. Perfect, immaculate. Praise God. Where the beast is dissolved. You see, some of the writings of Paul talks about a regeneration, a purification, a transformation. See, the purification or regeneration is the dissolving of every beastly attribute in us. That is the carnal nature in us. Anything that is carnal in us has to be dissolved. Carnality cannot find its way back into the spirit realm. Praise God. So the Spirit of God works in us to destroy the old man and to allow the inner man come forth, which is the perfect Lord of glory. Praise God. This is the ascension. As we ascend, we leave the earthly and we ascend back into our place in God, in the clouds of heaven. Have you heard of the rapture? Thessalonians, caught up to meet the Lord in the cloud. That is where we are. The glory cloud. Praise God. So this is the same thing that Jude was talking about. To be presented before his glory. To be presented to God. His presence with shouts of joy. See, dominion over all the nations. Where everything serves us. You know, when you walk in the Spirit, when you retain your position in God, you will discover that everything serves you. You will discover that everything works for your good. Hallelujah. Everything serves you. Everything works for your good. And you rule over all things. You reign. Absolute glory and power. Praise God. But those who we are sent into the cloud must receive of the Spirit of God. They must allow the Spirit of God to take a hold on them. If you rebel against the Spirit of God, there's no way you can find yourself in the clouds. Rebel against the Spirit of God, what you do is you remain on the earth as a mortal and you die off as a mortal. Oh, hallelujah, to him that is able to present us. Hallelujah. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. To the only wise God, our Savior, be God, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Hallelujah. That same majesty, that same dominion. All that has been given to us. Praise God. The glory, the power, the majesty, the honor, everything that the Father has, he has bestowed unto the Son. So that all men shall see the glory of God through the Son. praise God, having heard these words, I say the time has come for the brethren to arise wherever they are. Hallelujah. Arise with urgency. Stir up yourself. Stir up yourself. Hallelujah. No matter the situation you find yourself in, God is able to give you an escape. No matter your problems you have, God is able to give you escape. Hallelujah. The Almighty God, creator of the heaven and earth, is able to show you an exit door from whatever complication that or entanglement that you find yourself in. Just look unto the Lord now and begin to remember how you've heard. The time has come to ascend. Contend for that which you've heard. Hallelujah. Receive once more refreshing from above. Contend for the faith that the Lord has handed over unto us. Contend and allow that faith lead you back into your perfection in God. Allow it to lead you into eternal life, where you can once more realize a life without fear, without lack, without poverty, without anything that this whole world that we live in is subject to. God bless you, brethren. Amen. I will heal your wrong ways. I will love you so freely. You will dwell beneath my shadow.
Blossom as the lily.